So I just real quick, I want you to meditate for 1 second. I want you to meditate on something. What are you thankful for? You know, what are you thankful for? Just think about that for 1 second. And then I'm giving you time to think about what you want to be thankful for. All right, you and we had a bunch of people over at our house on Thanksgiving Day. Relatives, family, friends came over, and before they could eat, you know, they had to give something that they were thankful for. Everybody had to give something that they were thankful for. So I should have talked enough, and you had the opportunity. So now this is what I wanted to do. On the count of three, I just want you to shout out. Might be a phrase, might be one word, but I just want you to shout out what you were thankful for. I want you to shout it out, all right? One, two, three. Salvation!
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of The Grinch Who Stole Thanksgiving. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Grinch Who Stole Thanksgiving.
All right. Last week I shared a message, and the title of that message was Three Signs of a Thankful Heart. Three Signs of a Thankful Heart. And we were coming from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where the Apostle Paul said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And we gave three thoughts from this passage. A thankful heart is a transformed heart, that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your heart has been transformed, and you should be thankful naturally. We said that a thankful heart is unaffected by circumstances, that your circumstances should not affect your thanksgiving. And then a thankful heart does not give in to emotions, but is surrendered to the will of the Lord. It says that it's God's will that we be thankful. So I just real quick, I want you to meditate for 1 second. I want you to meditate on something. What are you thankful for? You know, what are you thankful for? Just think about that for 1 second. And then I'm giving you time to think about what you want to be thankful for. All right, you and we had a bunch of people over at our house on Thanksgiving Day. Relatives, family, friends came over, and before they could eat, you know, they had to give something that they were thankful for. Everybody had to give something that they were thankful for. So I should have talked enough, and you had the opportunity. So now this is what I wanted to do. On the count of three, I just want you to shout out. Might be a phrase, might be one word, but I just want you to shout out what you were thankful for. I want you to shout it out, all right? One, two, three, salvation! All right, amen, amen. Now, the Lord heard what you said. The Lord heard what you said. And not only did the Lord hear what you said, but the Grinch heard what you said too. And I'm here to tell you that the Grinch is here to steal your Thanksgiving. And so this is the title of the message today. We've come through Thanksgiving. You know, I'm in between series now. You know, when I get in between series, I can't really start another series. So I just kind of preach those, you know what they call it in rock music, right? Those one-hit wonders, right? So this is a one-hit wonder. The Grinches Who Stole Thanksgiving. That there are Grinches that are out that are trying to take away your Thanksgiving. You know, it's God's desire for believers to be thankful. You'll see in the notes that was passed out, Ephesians 5:20, it says, "Giving thanks for all things unto God the Father and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And the scripture that we looked at last week, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So there's no question about the fact that God wants his children to have thankful spirits and to have an attitude that it be rooted and grounded in our heart that thanksgiving is there. But there are some things that are out there that will try to take away your thanksgiving. And if you are not careful, they will rob you quicker than quick. They will take away your thanksgiving before you know it. And the first Grinch that I want to talk about is the Grinch of complaining. The Grinch of complaining. If you get into a complaining attitude, or if you have a complaining spirit, the Grinch has stole your thanksgiving. Let's look at Numbers in the Old Testament, that Old Testament book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. So before we visit that passage, let's look at the notes that were passed out. God personally and visibly led the Israelites through the wilderness. He parted the Red Sea for them. Amen. He parted. Do you hear that? He parted the Red Sea for them, delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, provided water from a rock, and fed them with manna from heaven. Wow. And all they did was complain. They should have been thankful. They missed the blessings because they wanted other things, and because they wanted other things, they complained, and they complained, and they missed and didn't appreciate the blessings that they had. Numbers chapter 11. And when the people complained. Now, I want you to see the first thing here is that it displeased the Lord. So whenever you're complaining, no matter what it's about, it displeases the Lord. Now, you know, that's not Pastor Glaze making this up. This is not me trying to guilt you into something. This is what the Word of God says, that when God had provided for these individuals and they complained, that it displeased the Lord. And so if you truly recognize Jehovah Jireh as being your source, you truly recognize your blessings coming from the hand of God, and you complain about it, God is displeased. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed those who were in the furthest parts of the camp. So, you know, God was upset, and he took people's lives away for complaining. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now look, you would think that they would have learned their lesson, right? Folk got wiped out. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell into lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic." Now, they wanted to go back to some of these things. I tell you, they're all right if they're seasoned, right? If they're seasoned in something, they're all right, but I don't know if I want to go back and eat some onions and leeks and garlics. You know, the melons, then, you know, that'd be all right, man. I'd love to be a nice piece of watermelon. But, you know, some of this other stuff. But when you get in a, see, the other thing that we see here is that when you get into a complaining spirit, some of the things you say make no make no sense, right? I mean, just think, in God's eyes, when you're complaining, God is saying, man, what you're saying don't even make sense. You know, I've been good to you. I've blessed you. I've watched out for you. I've kept you. I've provided for you. And now here you are complaining. And so they said, we remember the things that we had back in Egypt, but now our soul is dried away. There is none at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was as the color of Bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortar, or baked it in pans, or made cakes of it. And the taste of the taste was like fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. And then Moses heard the people weep Now, I got to stop right there. I can stay on this point probably all morning, but I'm just going to say this, then I'm going to move on. And God dropped food out of the sky, right? And the food that God dropped out of the sky, notice, they did four things with it. They fixed it four different ways, so it was fresh. And God dropped it. Dropped it. It was on the, every morning, it was on the ground. And these folks was complaining. So who were they? See, they weren't complaining against the manna. They were complaining against the one who was providing the manna. You mean to tell me this is all you got? This is all we got is this manna? See, you got to be careful when you complain. You know, you don't want to be like these monks. You know, they took a vow of silence, and they could only say two words every year. And so there was a new guy, and the first time he came, he said, hard bed. The next year, they came back. He could only say two, they could only say two words, and he said, terrible food. The third year, he came back, and he said, I quit. And one of the other monks said, I don't know, you know, why he quit. You know, what reason could he have for quitting? And one of the other monks said, well, he should have quit. All he ever did was complain. So, you know, so you could be like that monk, right? Every word, every time you open your mouth, a complaint comes out. You got to be careful, because complaint is not against the thing that you have. It's against the God who has provided it. And when we find ourselves in a complaining spirit, it is at that point that we are robbed, that the Grinch has robbed us of thanksgiving. The second thing that we see is the Grinch of insensitivity. The Grinch of insensitivity. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. The Grinch of insensitivity. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 lepers that were healed, that were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that returnest to give God glory except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee well. Now, isn't it interesting to notice? Now, you would think that Jesus said, well, look, just go ahead and show yourself to the priest and everything is cool. But the one guy came back. And when he comes back, Jesus says, where are the 9? Those insensitive, ungrateful individuals. Basically, that's what he was saying. Is that, you know, now, they could have went and showed themselves to the priest, but the story gives us the indication that they never came back. There was no chance. And see, here again, when we get to heaven, you know, there's questions that I got to ask when I get to heaven. That's not in the book that I wrote. Whenever I get there, you know, I'm gonna ask Jesus. Now, did you know? I know that one came back immediately, but did those other 9 ever come back? And we seem to have the indication in the scripture that they didn't come back. So, you know, until I get to heaven and I hear otherwise, you know, I'm going to assume that they never came back to give thanks. And, you know, just think about it. Let me share some things with you, right? Let me share some things with you. Leprosy was a horrible disease. It was horrible. That you had lumps on your body. You had sores. You had deformities in your skin. There was a paralysis that took place. There was a loss of sensation to touch and temperature. It was highly contagious, so you couldn't even be around anybody else, and people were banished, you know, to another place. Now, here goes the thing right here, that you weren't even allowed to hug anybody. Now, I think about, you know, my grandkids. You know, I love hugging my grandkids. You know, don't you love hugging? Yeah, I mean, just something, just give them a hug, you know? And just think, if you were a leper, you couldn't hug anybody. And nobody could hug you. And so here you had this life, this terrible life as a leper. And Jesus comes along. And Jesus heals you. Man, you would think that the first thing that would flow out of your spirit would be thanksgiving. You think that you would be jumping up, shouting, running up and down the aisle, thanking God that he healed you. But nine of them never came back. Why? Well, I told you last week some reasons that they might not have came back. You can put those up there. But I think all these add to the idea of just them being insensitive. If you go to that next slide. Or just not. Oh, there you go. All right. Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one returned to give thanks. What happened to the other nine? So somebody speculates, right, that maybe one wanted to see if the cure was real. Maybe one wanted to see if the healing would last. Maybe one said, hey, you know, I'll catch up with Jesus a little bit later. I'll see him later, right? One decided that he never had leprosy in the first place. Maybe one said he would have gotten well anyways. Maybe one gave glory to the priest. Maybe one said Jesus really didn't do anything. All he told me to do was go. Maybe one said any rabbi could have did that. And then maybe one said, hey, man, I was already getting better anyways. So, I mean, even if one of them had one of these excuses why they didn't come back, you know what the bottom line was? They were insensitive. And it stole their thanksgiving. And you know what? I see so many of God's people being blessed. I see God doing great things for them. And instead of them looking and thanking God for what he has done, they find reason to complain about something that they have or they don't have. What about you? I mean, just think of your spirit. You know, if you just go back, let's go back in the time. Let's travel back the last month in time. Let's just go back. Mr. Peabody, right? In the time machine. You know, we go back. Just think. What has been coming out of your mouth? What has been in your heart? Have you been complaining about things that you don't have, complaining about things that you do have, or have you been thanking God for who he is and what he does? Come on now. Come on now. Somebody help me out this morning. Just be honest with yourself and be honest with God. And many of us would have to say that, you know, we have had a complaining more than a thankful spirit. And that just shows our insensitivity to the things that God has done for us, that God has blessed us. And we have chosen to focus on things to complain about. How insensitive, how ungrateful. Here is a Grinch that has robbed you of your thankful spirit, has just taken your thankful spirit away. And I have to be honest, I find, you know, myself in that category, you know, often, you know, complaining about something, complaining about having to do this. There was a man, he was complaining about his car and the fact that, you know, he had one of these old broken down hoopties, and somebody told him, you may not drive a great big Cadillac, gangster white walls, TV antenna in the back. You may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Just be thankful for what you got. Amen. Amen. So God wants us to be thankful for the things that he has blessed us with, and not have an insensitive spirit. The next spirit that we see is the Grinch of pride, or the next Grinch that we see is the Grinch of pride. Since we're in the Gospel of Luke, let's turn over another chapter in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And the Lord spoke a certain unto them who trusted, a certain parable unto them who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Oh, look, this brother's giving thanks, right? Look at him. He's giving thanks. God, I thank you. Hey, man, this guy's on the right track. He's headed in the right direction. He's in the temple, and he's thanking God. I thank thee that I am not as other men. Now it's starting to go downhill. I thank thee I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So even though he was given thanksgiving, his thanksgiving was rejected in heaven. Why? Because it was done out of pride. And so, you know, we have to be careful that we don't thank God, you know, for the wrong things, that we don't thank him out of our prideful attitude, that we don't thank God out of the things that, you know, we have accumulated for ourselves, and they become a source of pride. You know, I share often how that as I cut my grass, and I go out and look at my grass when I've cut it and trimmed it, you know, just to look at it and say, wow, it looks good. You know, wow, I mean, look at my yard, grass all cut, all trimmed up, and you know, you can kind of get a little prideful, you know, but you have to remember who gave you the strength to go out there and be able to do it. Amen. Or, you know, as I'm finding out in future years, and it might be next year, who blessed you with the money to be able to pay somebody to, to go do it, you know? It gets harder and harder every year. But, you know, you can't allow your pride to choke out thanksgiving unto God. And so as you look at, you know, what you've done, then you've either got to say, you know, Lord, thank you for giving me the health and strength to be able to do it, or Lord, thank you for blessing me with the resources to be able to pay somebody to do it. You know, my brother, see, it's all got to start with God. And you can't let it start with you, because if it starts with you, then you'll try to rob God of the blessings that's due him. The Grinch of pride. Let me quickly move along here and talk about the Grinch of self-sufficiency. The Grinch of self-sufficiency. See, this is another thing that will cause, it's almost like the Grinch of pride, but the Grinch of self-sufficiency will cause you to take credit for things that God should have credit for. Let's look in Luke, since we're in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Luke chapter 12. In verse 16, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Grinch Who Stole Thanksgiving. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Grinch Who Stole Thanksgiving, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Grinch Who Stole Thanksgiving. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Grinch Who Stole Thanksgiving. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.